Good morning, University of Manitoba campus, and welcome to UMFM's information entertainment program, Your Campus Today, for Friday, November the 9th. I'm going to be your host, David Devane. Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays at 11:30 a.m., we bring you all the U of M news that's fit for your ears, plus keep you in the loop on just a few of the great events going on here at the U of M campus that you need to know about. On today's show, UMSU passes two very important motions, esteemed alumnus Nala Ayed returns to campus, and we're joined by ASBC President Julius Chester and Assistant Social Programmer Jalene Dela Cruz. That's right, I'm going to be on air with J Squared this morning to close out the week right before reading week. All this and more coming up next right here on Your Campus Today. UMSU's chambers were full Monday as two motions amending the union's official position on reproductive rights were debated and passed. The first motion amends UMSU's equitable campus position statement to declare that the union supports one's right to freedom of reproductive choice and one's right to be free from coercion or attempted coercion with respect to making reproductive choices, and opposes any act of coercion or attempted coercion with respect to making reproductive choices. The second motion amends UMSU's safe environment policy to include, quote, any act of coercion or attempted coercion with respect to making reproductive choices as a version of, quote, discriminatory or harassing behaviors and actions. It was amended within the meeting to include a further subclause that added the dissemination of graphic materials or information that is misleading or false as part of any event slash activity or within the group slash club or association. The motions were initially a singular document moved by UMSU President Jacob Sanderson and seconded by Social Work Students Association Representative Deborah Lynn Benet. The motions are only applicable to UMSU student groups. Campaigners from the Canadian Center for Bioethical Reform, the CCBR, that have been demonstrating outside UMSU University Center this fall will be unaffected by the union's new position. The board voted to split the motion in two because the Governance and Operations Manual, which holds the safe environment policy, requires a two-thirds vote to amend, and the position statement book needs a simple majority. An amendment was carried in which the two uses of the word woman's in the initial motion was changed to one's. The session was closed for over an hour while board members debated the motions. Both passed with overwhelming support. Quote, we've heard from many concerned students that UMSU should be doing its part to ensure a safer environment on our campus and to take an organizational stance on reproductive rights, Jacob Sanderson said. So while we may have existing policies and procedures in regards to the matter, we felt it was necessary to bring a motion to the board and to address the issue. Jacob Sanderson also clarified that the motions prohibits UMSU affiliate student groups from harassing students who don't want to be talked to. This would include uses of graphic materials or imagery, often pictures or models of aborted fetuses, which create an unsafe environment for students. And the intent was also for this to include the dissemination of false or misleading information. Jacob Sanderson also stressed the motions are not intended to police anyone's thoughts. UMSU received a number of letters addressed to individual members of the board of directors from the Justice Center for Constitutional Freedoms, a group based in Calgary, which, according to its website, works to defend the constitutional freedoms of Canadians through litigation and education, which suggested the board vote against the original motion on the grounds it denigrates certain students' peaceful expression and undermines freedom of expression on your campus. It also referred to the motion as invalid. Elizabeth McMeekin, Chief Propaganda Officer for the U of M Revolutionary Student Movement, RSM, was presented at the meeting, and she called out the passing of the motions as a huge first step. To have a body that represents 30,000 students take a stance for reproductive autonomy, it goes beyond the words that I have. This is huge. This isn't being done everywhere. This is the steps that progressive universities are making, and I'm very proud to be part of the union right now. This is a moment where I'm very proud to be a part of the University of Manitoba. Winnipeg Conversation Series 13 Fires hosted a drop-in event at the U of M Sunday afternoon in response to, quote, it's okay to be white posters that were posted around the Fort Garry campus overnight, October the 31st. The event, Art Action, Mobilizing Response to It's Okay to Be White, featured discussion about how to be actively anti-racist, as well as poster-making in a session. Annie Chen, a 13 Fires organizer, said the event was meant to provide an open space for dialogue. My expectation of today was just to come and go as a spot for people to be able to talk through some of what's happening and to make some art around it, and that there will be further responses that can happen from this, she said. The group formed in 2015 after speakers at the Our Summit Local Racial Inclusion Summit, which took place in September of that year, recommended community members within the city continue productive conversations on race. Sunday's event addressed anxieties that people felt with the appearance of posters. I became really concerned about the poster's power to influence people that are not sure where they stand when it comes to white supremacy, Annie Chen said. She then noted the posters were both threatening to racialized groups on campus and also as a possible recruitment tool for white supremacists. It's dangerous because it becomes that recruitment tool and this identifier and a locus of belonging for people who may be currently in a neutral or slightly oppositional space to anti-racism, Chen said. Much of the discussion focused on what it means to be a non-racist versus an anti-racist. To me, the difference between a non-racist and an anti-racist is action, Chen said. Chen provided examples of how to be an anti-racist within the university. To be actively anti-racist in the university system or a classroom might be countering people's ideas, Chen said, or calling out microaggressions, or if people are sharing something, a way of viewing something or a policy you think is discriminatory, that you would say something about it. The School of Fine Arts Student Association, SOFA, is also planning a response to the posters. Annie Beach, SOFA co-president, said SOFA have decided to counteract the violent It's Okay to Be White posters with posters that have positive messages. SOFA plans to produce a series of screen-printed posters featuring messages created in consultation with the Muslim Student Association and Indigenous students. We hope that these posters can be available to students free of charge, where they can hang them where they need them, Beach said. Organizers are aiming to meet regularly again in 2019 to create spaces for conversations that foster understanding and anti-racist action. We want to make sure that white supremacist ideas aren't taking further hold, and we want to make sure that we're working in anti-racist and anti-aggressive ways, Annie Chen said. Up next, I'm going to be joined by Julius Chester, Art Student Body Council President, and Jolene Dela Cruz. And we're going to be talking about different things going on in the Faculty of Arts, some different initiatives, and the activism that we've been a part of. So we're going to be switching to that now. Good morning, everybody. So I'm going to be hosting this interview today with Julius Chester and Jolene Dela Cruz. We're going to be talking about what's going on with ASBC. We've been doing some activism. We got some programming, and they're going to be taking it away and telling all the listeners about what's going on with our awesome faculty. And of course, all of our events and different things going on, not only at the association level, but with all the clubs and whatnot, those are open to pretty much everybody as well. Jolene can like tell you guys about the event that went on last night, and that was pretty cool. And we got some more stuff cooking up down the pipeline, especially at the end of November, early December. So with that, take it away, you guys.
All right. Well, thank you for having us, David. This is really cool. I guess some of the things that ASBC has been really up to nowadays is, as you know, like UMSU passed the motion about respecting female autonomy. Right before that, ASBC was in talks with numerous UMSU reps, with our UMSU reps and with the community reps to sort of like craft our own safe environment policy, because we felt it was something that was, you know, really important for us to do, especially like when we're an association or a council that does have control over certain spaces on the university campus. I think it's important for us to sort of regulate those spaces in a way that sort of makes students feel more safer on campus, so that students don't have to feel like they're being victimized or persecuted in an unjust manner.
Right, yeah, of course. Well, I mean, I was totally on board with everything from square one. This initiative, actually, credit where credit is due, was pioneered by Christina Trichenko on ASBC. So I'm really glad that we were able to resolve it and bring out the motion and resolution in such a way that people were quite happy with it. We received many positive comments, if I'm not mistaken, about the wording of the motion and the implementation. So yeah, just to let you guys know, we've been doing some activism in that realm.
Yeah, and you know, it's very exciting. I mean, the activism kind of started like from last year when Jacob Sanderson, the former ASBC president, sort of took a stand against tuition increases, and it's sort of just like build up from there. And like, you know, we have some amazing individuals on council who sort of like take these things, who are very passionate about this. So like, I'm glad we have them on the team, and like, you know, it's good to have people who are very keen and aware of sort of the issues that go on, not only on campus, but like across in Manitoba, in Canada, and everything. Yeah.
Yeah. What was your thoughts on it, Jillian?
Well, I honestly think that it's really good that ASBC is taking a stand and being a key figure in the activist movement here on campus, especially because we are student leaders. And people look to us when they see who they elected and what they're actually doing. So it's really good. And I'm really proud of ASBC for what we're all doing. And that's not all. We're also spreading positivity via things that happened last week, like RAC, the Random Act of Kindness. Obviously, with all of like the negative things happening on campus and all the positive energy that we want to bring to our students, we basically just gave out free cookies and had a kindness wall. And
I really like that kindness super, wall. Super that was simple. Actually really cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I was really proud of it.
Yeah, I hope that everyone comes by. Our next RAC is actually going to be here, and this is a little like insider tip for everyone who's a listener of York Campus Today. It's going to be on December the 5th, so that's going to be a Wednesday. And I think it's actually the last, it's either the last week or the second last week of regular classes before the exam period.
Yeah, it's really good for like students who really need a pick-me-up. You know, like, I remember when I used to, like, table, like, in my early days of ASBC, just constantly giving out cookies and hot chocolate. It really makes the people, it really makes a difference in people's days because it's just like, well, especially the hot chocolate because it's so cold.
We should definitely switch up to the hot chocolate instead of the pop drinks next
time. Yeah, get more hot chocolate.
Maybe even a French vanilla just for that extra kick.
That'd be amazing, actually. Yeah. Yeah, that's a good idea.
Hey, yeah, so, and then another thing we're going to be chatting on about during this interview, because it's something that ASBC is doing right now, it's actually a rather big initiative, is our participatory budgeting. So if you've seen UMSU promote their participatory budgeting committee, which obviously is very big, grandiose, they were giving out free cookies and coffee yesterday, and they have $20,000 to play around with. ASBC has its own participatory budgeting committee just for arts students, and we actually have $8,000 of the budget that we put aside to basically democratize as much as possible and put into the hands of students, take some suggestions from you guys, and know what is the most important thing directly from the students' ideas regarding everything from renovations to scholarships to cultural events to I don't even know, another vending machine. That's like a little joke or whatever. Like the vending machine in the arts lounge was a suggestion from last year. So that's why it's there. But yeah, so we're going to be talking a little bit about that because we're quite proud of it. Julius, of course, he's on the PB committee.
Yeah, I know. PB is a wonderful committee. It's how I first really got started into the Arts Student Body Council, really. You know, thanks to David because, like, he was also on the committee and he sort of, like, helped me out when he can and, you know, it was really appreciated. But PB itself is, like, I don't know. I just really like the idea of, you know, students actually having a say in terms of, like, when it comes to ASBC's finances, right? Like, you know, you obviously have, like, a committee that, the finance committee that sort of takes care of, like, you know, all the big things. But, like, just having students feel like they have a voice in terms of, like, you know, what they can spend the money on, it makes a really big difference in somebody's experience here on campus. Last year, like, we did allocate $7,000 towards scholarships, and that was because students voted on it. It was a student idea, because we had numerous people suggest it, and then the students actually voted on it. So it just really sort of changes the dynamic when it comes to our relationships, or our relationship with the student body as well. And I hear that you might know some of the ideas that we have this year, because I haven't yet took a look at the idea box.
Yeah, I do. Well, actually, here, I have a fun little question beforehand, just so Jillian can jump in here, because she's not on PB committee. Have you seen...
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
Have
you seen the suggestion box out there in the Arts Lounge? We were giving out pizza, like Domino's Pizza, and like some suggestions or whatever last week.
Yes, I do, and they're doing a great job at reeling students in and getting all those papers in, too, because of the French vanillas.
Yeah, that's true.
French vanillas.
So, basically, I would love to ask you, if you had to have a suggestion for the PB box, what would your suggestion be?
Well, one thing that I've been looking for a reliable source of since I guess I started at university in the Arts Lounge was accessible chargers or things that you could borrow. So that I think would be a really good thing to have in the lounge for people to use, especially because the charging station that we have right now is kind of dingy and only like half of the wires actually work. So I feel like that would be a good move at EFWA, our lounge director.
Yeah.
Please listen to this.
Well, so I know a few of them, right? So basically, I
bothered to take a sneak peek both at UMSU's suggestions and at our own. And a lot of people are basically just like, yeah, we want like to make Aurora better. But then we were like, we have zero control over university software.
That is a fair statement, though. Aurora is not great.
It's not ideal, but,
that's why it's going down this month.
Oh,
yeah, it's true. Yeah. Well,
they're
upgrading to Banner 9, so there's going to be a thing, which is like a new Aurora, but nobody knows what it looks like, so we'll have to see. But anyways, so I had an idea. I thought it was pretty cool. Please let me know what you think. If you guys are listeners, you can hit up UMFM. We have a Facebook and we have an Instagram, and you can shoot up some ideas. And you can be like, hey, like I heard on your campus today, like, we were looking at participatory budgeting ideas, both like for UMSU and ASBC. And the idea that I had was a food security initiative. So one day I was like walking through the halls right next to the Greenhouse Cafe. And I saw like an Aramark sign, which was, you know, 2 out of 5 people who go to university, they experience food insecurity. So that's gigantic. That's like 40%, right? If that was like extrapolated to all of Canada, that'd be like famine levels of food insecurity. So how would we alleviate that? Well, one little bit of an insider tip, GPAs is actually being renovated for next year. They're taking GPAs down for 3 months, and they're renovating it to make it a proper grocery store managed by UMSU on campus. So I thought that it would be a cool idea to get some vouchers from like Red River Co-op or Sobeys, but it would be even like, it would be the best to just get vouchers for GPAs on campus. And so what you could do is, if you were somebody who like lived in residence especially, or you live near the university, what you could do is you could send in how much money you spend on food, and you could say like, hey, like, you know, it's extremely hard to make like ends meet because I have to like work part time and go in and, you know, go to school full time, and like I also live on my own and it's tough, right? So you could go to UMSU, you could send them in your financial statement, and you could say, you know, I could really use like a handout, and then you could receive like a food voucher for GPAs. And it would just be a little bit of an easier way to relieve the burden on the incredible amount of students who experience that. Statistically, that would be like 9,000 people at the U of M in undergrad. However, that statistic is pulled from Canada, so not just the U of M, but yeah. So anyway, that was my idea. I thought that it would be really cool. But obviously, everyone has some great suggestions, and we love to like know what you guys think. So please definitely message UMFM if you have any ideas. You can also message U of M ASBC on Instagram. Just shoot them a DM, and they always reply. We have like 4 people who co-manage the account.
Five
now. Ooh.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, maybe 6.
Okay, well,
a lot of us.
So we got a lot of capable hands on deck.
Every possible committee.
So yeah, definitely please do that. We're always listening to more ideas. And then of course, yeah, if either you, Jalene, or you, Julius, want to mention anything in closing, please do, about what we're doing on the council.
Well, we do have an issue of Beyond ASBC coming out very soon for the holiday season. All the counselors are coming up with ideas. I think, wait, what was the topic for this month?
Just best ways to spend your winter holidays.
Oh, yeah, because, yes. Yeah, when students have idle time, they don't really know what to do with it. When
yeah.
They're not hitting the books or, like, binging Netflix, it'd be good to, like, get out and do something in the city, hopefully with other people. yeah, because, like, the fall term can be super draining, and, yeah, obviously ASBC wants to provide ideas, and we're students too, so the sarcastic comments will have to be paid a little bit of patience too. But yeah, we have that coming up.
And what else? We'll have our year-end social, but that's not until April. So you know,
planning is happening now though.
So stick around.
Suggestions.
Yeah, yeah, stick around with ASBC, and you know, we'll be sure to, you know, keep you in the loop about what's going on with our final affair. And
all right, well, if you think that's pretty much it, then that's pretty much it. And as always, thanks for tuning in, guys. We just wanted to give you a little bit of an update. And as well, if you have representatives from your faculty, whether that's science, engineering, agriculture, whatever, and they want to talk about something that they're doing, your campus today is always about promoting what's going on locally, especially at the U of M campus. So please let us know. And we will be happy to do another interview of this kind. And as always, good luck with everything. Good luck with exams and finals.
I've been me and you've been you. And this has been David Defane, Jalene Dela Cruz, and Julius Chester signing off.
CBC foreign correspondent Nala Ayed has spent her life traveling across the globe, but at one time she called Winnipeg and the University of Manitoba home. Ayed visits the U of M this week and took part in the university's Visionary Conversation series, which seeks to explore tough questions and foster conversations that drive discovery and insight. As a journalist, Ayed had covered international events, particularly within the Middle East. Before CBC, she was a parliamentary reporter for the Canadian Press. She has been nominated for multiple awards for excellence in journalism, including a Gemini Award for her work reporting in Iraq. Her traveling began at a young age, a first-generation Canadian of Palestinian parents born in Winnipeg. Her family chose to move to a refugee camp in Jordan for a short time. While Ayed said the experience was not easy, she also noted it gave her a firm grasp on both the Arabic language and, as she called it, the language of adaptability. It was difficult, and it was jarring, and it was scary. It was all those things, she said. But children are amazing, right? They adapt, and I think for me, it reinforced the ability to move around and to kind of make the best of your surroundings. Nala Ayed was pursuing a science at the U of M when she walked into the Manitoban and got a job as a news reporter. I saw an ad in the paper and they wanted a news reporter, and somehow, again, I just walked over and said, I'd like to be their reporter. During her time at the paper, she fell in love, began freelance journalistic work, and was convinced by a supervisor in her science studies to make a choice between pursuing the study of genetics further or going into journalism. I was wearing my white lab coat, she said. And she told me, Nala, you can't do both of these things. You've got to make a choice. This push helped her apply to journalism schools, and her choice was made. Nala Ayed received a Master of Journalism degree from Carleton University in 1997. To be honest with you, when I started journalism, I wasn't necessarily thinking that I'd like to be a foreign correspondent. I mean, I was interested because I watched the old guys like Don Murray and Patrick Brown. Nala Ayed went on to achieve success in reporting both within the country and worldwide. In 2008, she received an honorary degree from the U of M for her outstanding achievement. The U of M's Nala Ayed Prize is awarded yearly to students who demonstrate exceptional vision, passion, commitment, great leadership skills, and whose actions are helping to bridge the local and the global. The deadline to submit your application for this award in the 2019 period is December the 14th. U of M alumni from different walks of life came together to discuss what it means to be a global citizen at a panel discussion hosted on campus Thursday. The panel featured three U of M alumni, CBC journalist Nala Ayed, law professor and Indigenous advocate Brenda Gunn, and media executive and producer Laura McAlchishin. The event, called The Power of One, What's My Responsibility as a Global Citizen, was part of the university's Visionary Conversation series, which seeks to explore tough questions and foster conversations that drive discovery and insight. University President David Barnard said the discussions are meant to encourage listeners to consider themselves as global citizens and to think about how they can make a difference both locally and internationally. A wide range of topics were discussed, including the effect of social media on global activism, the importance of supporting women who aspire to advocacy on a worldwide scale, and ways for students to engage in social movements. During the panel, the three also discussed the place of universities in creating global change. Gunn, who developed an influential handbook for implementing the UN Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples, said academia provided an opportunity to learn critical thinking skills. Universities can help create those critical thinkers, Gunn explained. Right, that we don't need to give a lot of answers, but I do hope that people coming out of our institution are able to take all the information that exists out there, and sometimes it's an overwhelming amount, and be able to start working their way through and critically engage with that information so that they can decide for themselves how they're going to be involved. Nala Ayed, for whom the U of M's Nala Ayed Prize for Student Leadership and Global Citizenship is named, talked about the universities as a place of discussion and debate. I feel that there are a number of debates going on right now that don't really have a home, that are outside of the traditional sort of government-voter conversation, she explained, and they need a home. These debates need to have a solid home base. Nala Ayed explained many of the discussions that occur within the university settings have wide-scale global ramifications. These kinds of conversations, I think, need to happen at institutions like the University of Manitoba, where, again, they're important, they're global in scope, but there's nowhere really to have those conversations for ordinary people, she said. McAlchishin added that the value of universities is dependent on the ability to function as spaces that encourage free expression. Every campus that I have been on or had the privilege of going to school at feels like a safer epicenter for thought. For ideas, for exchange of new cultures, it has been a very open environment, and diversity and support of students who have not necessarily had the privilege that I feel I've had is also essential. And that's going to be just about it. Thanks for listening, everyone. We're going to be closing out today's show with a track from the Lytics. This is Good as Gold from their latest record, Float On, which is currently rocketing up the UMFM charts. I'll be back on Monday, November 19th, because we're going to be off for reading week. I hope you all have a nice, relaxing time, and make sure to get some rest, make sure to catch up, and we're going to come back, and we're going to crush finals. As always, I've been me, you've been you, my name is David Tufain, and this has been Your Campus Today.
It's good as gold, gold, gold. It's good as gold, gold, gold. It's good as gold, gold, gold. It's good as gold, gold, gold.
My Simons is rhyming, diamonds in the rough. Good for refinement, find the Midas touch. My time designing all them cuts just enough. Behold the gold rush, yeah, you heard it from us. Against the world and all this doubt, run my routes, just gold inside my house. I'm off my way, and it's more than by the ounce. And now my neighbor know what's up, what we about.
I let the light in, even when I'm scared to plug the mic in. Even in a slump, I will brighten. Brighten days, brighten hearts, brighten minds. Even if I wrote these lines in the darkest of the times, every syllable, every word and breath bound to shine. Bound to shape days in the most blessed ways. Let my words illuminate you while you color in the gray. Let my words rejoice you. It's good as gold, that'll never change.
Your Campus Today is a collaborative production between UM Today, the Manitoban, the Department of Student Life, and this station, UMFM 101.5. Thanks for listening, folks. If you have a story you'd like us to feature or want to send in feedback, please email us at campustoday@umfm.com.